Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. And we'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's an easy way that we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, if you don't mind, send it down, fill it out, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. This is a good opportunity if you have an updated email or updated cell phone, updated bank account information. I'm just kidding, not the bank account. Put that down and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out. We do ask that last person, when it's done, send it back to where it got started. First person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Several quick announcements. There will be Monday morning Bible study tomorrow. Our Wednesday study continues this week. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Make note of those things. A couple things to draw your attention to. We are having children's time today. Invite all the kids to come down for just a brief moment after that first hymn, and we'll talk for just a minute. Also, Miss Judy has asked me to tell everybody that the prison ministry collection for the month of July is toothpaste. And so we are collecting those this month and appreciate any and all that are able to help us with this very important collection. Also, we've been asked to make an announcement that volunteer training for the Forsyth Jail Ministry team will be held Sunday, July 16th from 2:30 to 4 here at College Park. Make sure to bring a good photocopy of your driver's license for the application, and we'd love to have you as part of our growing team. So thank you so much for that. There are other things that are listed in your bulletin. Make sure you make note of those things, including our upcoming pictorial directory. There are opportunities there at the end of July for you guys for families and to be a part of getting their pictures taken for that. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. We're thankful that you are a part of worship today, and thank you for giving us your information on the pew pad. We'd like to give something to you. So if you are a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, also a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thanks so much for being a part of worship this day. Isn't it good that in freedom we can gather together without fear, without worry? We freely chose to be here this morning. And the good news is that freedom that we share in this country actually comes from God. Freedom. What a great, great gift. Let us prepare to worship. Thank you. To start worship. Will you pray with me? Father, as we have been reminded already this morning, the great gift that it is to receive freedom in Christ, to live freely in this place. Thank you for the gift of freedom. That freedom begins and ends on the cross, where Jesus freely gave himself so that we would have the freedom to choose or to even reject you. How powerful that love is. Thank you for choosing to be here this day. May everything that we do today glorify you and you alone as the source of all freedom. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Invite the kids, come on down. All right. We'll wait for you. It's good to see everybody this morning. Hey, guys, come on in. Take a seat. Crisscross applesauce right here for me. Anywhere's fine. Now, it's a big, big week, right? Does anybody know what happens this week? 4th of July. What are some of the things that you like to do 4th of July? Rebecca?
Fireworks.
Does anybody like fireworks? Does anybody like fireworks? But they are loud. Not quite that loud, but they're loud. We like fireworks. Why? Because they're loud? I like that. What are your favorite ones? The smiley face. That's my favorite one. Which one? Yes, and it goes crazy. Shocking. Okay, that is the ones that make the smiley face, or the one that explodes. I think this is the one you're talking about. It explodes, and then it explodes again, and things go crazy. Oh, that one. Oh, that. Everybody has a favorite firework. What else do we do July 4th? Have some food. Have a cookout. What do? You go to the golf cart parade. We have lots of things to do. But what's the whole point by July 4th? Why do we even have a special day for July 4th? What do you think? Why do we celebrate July 4th? Long time ago, when we became a country and the United States became a country, there were people who were fighting to give us freedom, right? And we get to celebrate that every July 4th, the freedom that we have. Now, that's a big word, freedom. What does that mean, freedom? What does freedom mean? Let's talk about freedom. What is freedom? What does that mean? That's a great definition. To not be controlled and roam where you want to, right? Freedom, that is a gift. Do you know there are a lot of people in this world that don't have freedom to do what they want to do? And in this country, we can do a lot of things. Like this afternoon, you're going to get to choose somewhat like what to play, right? Now, mom and dad may choose where you go do that, but you can play all different kinds of things. That freedom is the ability to choose. Now, every day you and I have that freedom. We can choose to do what God wants or to not. He gives us the ability to choose. Are we going to follow what the Bible says or not? The greatest symbol of freedom that we have ever seen. You might think about fireworks. You might think about cookouts. You might think about the American flag. The greatest symbol of freedom is right back there. Do you see that cross? Because God came to earth and he said, I love you so much. I don't care what you've done, where you're going, the sin that you've got. I want to show you how much I love you. He gave us freedom from all of our bad choices. So when you celebrate July 4th and you light the fireworks and you eat a hot dog and you go swimming in the pool or you're in a parade, the greatest freedom we have ever gotten is the cross. Because God showed you and me how much he loves us. So when you think about that on Tuesday, think about that. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for the greatest gift of freedom. So many people in this country who have given their very all to give us freedom so that we can celebrate July 4th. We thank you for those that sacrifice so much. But mostly, we thank you for your Son who gives us freedom every day. Freedom to choose to follow Jesus or not. Help us every day to choose, to freely choose to be like Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seats now. Good job.
Our scripture passage from today comes from Romans 6, verses 12 through 23. It's located on page 799 in your pew Bible, if you happen not to have your copy of the scripture this morning. Romans 6, verse 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to an ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray with me if you would. Father, as we celebrate freedom this week, we are so thankful that we have freedom in you from the gift of your Son. Because what we deserve is death, an eternal death. But because of you and the gift that you gave to people that didn't deserve the gift, we have eternal life. And Father, we could never repay you for that. But we thank you, Lord. Father, as we have lived out our lives this week, they've taken us in different journeys, whether we expected them or not. There have been pains, there have been joys, there have been troubling times, and there have been some happy times. And Father, you've been there through all of those, leading us and guiding us to continue to serve you. Because as we heard last week, we've got to serve somebody. And it's so much greater to serve you, Lord. Father, this week as we continue to live out our life, allow us to serve you unhindered, unashamed, openly for your sake, for your Son, so somebody else might come to have a relationship with you. Father, lead us and guide us to carry out your plan. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Yonder on Calvary. Good morning. I'd like to take just a moment to build on Jeff's earlier comments. Tuesday, we'll celebrate another Independence Day. Perhaps cook out with family and friends, maybe a baseball game and some fireworks. But let us not overlook the significance of this fourth day. The Declaration of Independence, and then some 13 years later, the Constitution of the United States, laid out a remarkable vision for this country and its people. The Declaration, of course, asserted our right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The First Amendment to the Constitution established our fundamental freedoms of religion, speech, the press, assembly, and petition. May we not take these for granted, especially as we gather together freely to worship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We give thanks for our great country. We especially give thanks today for the freedom to worship you openly and without fear of persecution. Give us the courage to do so boldly. Help us to recognize how very fortunate we truly are. Forgive us when we take so many wonderful opportunities for granted. We ask that you bless this church and its congregation. We're thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for all the blessings of life and the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country. Guide them in thy will. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in thy name. Amen.
When we have a holiday in the middle of the week, it kind of throws things off just a little bit. So Tuesday being 4th of July, Independence Day, the church office will be closed. But Wednesday, we'll be back up and running and schedule on Wednesday night. I want to invite you. We've had some good crowds the last couple of weeks for our summer series, Major Messages from Minor Prophets. So invite you to come. 6 o'clock, we gather together, bring your own picnic dinner, and come on and be with us. We've had a great time of fellowship, so I want to invite you to put that on your calendar and make sure you come and be a part of that. As I looked at our text today,
One of the lectionary passages that was given for today is John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. And it's kind of interesting because last week in the sermon, I actually referenced this passage of Scripture. And so it shows up again this week, which is really good. It gives us a chance to kind of dwell on that for just a little while. I looked through a lot of stuff this week as you start talking about freedom and you're trying to balance the whole nationalistic and spiritual and all that other. I found particular help from Pastor P.B. Stetzer, who gave me some real good ideas in terms of how you kind of proceed with talking about all of this stuff related to freedom. Freedom, what does it mean? Where are we going to go from here in terms of talking about freedom? Well, let's read the passage first, and then we'll kind of dig into it. It's from John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You will be free. Freedom. What is it? What is freedom? Last week, if you'll remember, we tied it all to servanthood. Talk about how you got to serve somebody, right? Remember that? We tied it all to servanthood, being a slave, being a servant. And we quoted a song that says, you know, if you know, you're going to serve somebody, either be the devil or it could be the Lord. And we talked about the fact that that was actually taken from Romans. And so what is it then that we celebrate Tuesday? What is it we celebrate Tuesday? You know, I thought we could kind of revisit that notion of freedom from several different angles. And I'm going to start with definitions primarily because I had a professor in seminary who says you never use them in a sermon. So this is my act of independence. This is my Independence Day. Amen, brother. We're going to start with a few definitions because it's particularly interesting to see how Webster defines freedom. The first one he gives is freedom is the condition of being free. Well, I think that kind of violates the definition of a definition, right? You're not supposed to use the root word. What's Webster thinking? It goes on to say the power to act or speak or think without externally imposed restraints. Okay. Freedom, immunity from an obligation or duty. Freedom, voluntary in the absence of coercion. Freedom, the state of being free. Come on, Webster. Freedom, not being under another's control. The power to say or do as one pleases. That's an interesting one as we get to spiritual freedom. The ability to choose. Those are some definitions. Let me give you some quotes. This is kind of a test, but if you're in the 9 o'clock service, Ron, Cecilia, and everybody else, it was a 9 o'clock service, you can't answer this. These are quotes. See if you can guess who said it. Quote, "All the great things are simple, and many can be expressed in a single word. Freedom, justice, honor, duty, mercy, and hope." Do you know who said it? This is the participation part. You can actually speak out loud. Sir Winston Churchill. That kind of sounds like him, doesn't it? Sir Winston Churchill said that. Here's another one for you. "From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightened Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring from every hill and every molehill." Martin Luther King Jr., excellent, excellent. It was in a speech at the Lincoln Memorial on 28 August 1963. And one of my favorite quotes, "Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom?" Okay, there was a whole lot different response in here than it was at 9 o'clock. the accent helps. It's actually from the movie Braveheart, and it's attributed to William Wallace, but who knows what he said to fire up his guys, okay? Mel Gibson delivered it, but it's kind of a classic there. But the idea is freedom. You know, people get excited, except y'all. People get excited about freedom. And since Tuesday is Independence Day, let me pause and let me just acknowledge national freedom. Because in spite of all the challenges that our country faces, there is nowhere else that I would choose to live. Amen. But it came at a price. As we mentioned on Memorial Day, it comes at a price. There have been well over 1.3 million American soldiers who have given their lives in various wars since the birth of our nation, defending and pursuing freedom. So it's a steep price that we enjoy our freedoms. And I think we have a responsibility, as Neural alluded to, we have a responsibility to live up to that hard-won freedom that was handed down to us, don't we? Sure we do. Sure we do. So that's national freedom. Let's transition, as Jeff did with the children, toward spiritual freedom. Because you see, our spiritual freedom was even more costly. We owed a debt that we could not pay. And God delivered. God delivered his child, his son. As Mary said in the 9 o'clock service, you know, we sometimes say, well, I would die for my family, or I would die for a friend. But the idea of offering up your child? Romans 5, verses 6 through 8 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious life blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So it was a huge price that was paid on our behalf. And yet there are things that we find ourselves, even with freedom available, even with freedom through Christ so readily available, there are things that we find ourselves enslaved to. Let me give you a few examples. How about sin? Enslaved to sin. How about debt? How about habits? How about depression? How about other people's opinions, like they really matter? But yet somehow we're enslaved by that. I had an opportunity several months ago to talk with a young lady, and her response to a question I asked her was, I just want to be free from my past. Man. She wanted true freedom to live her life without fear, and she articulated that. She said, Pastor, I live every day in fear that my past is going to catch up with me. Man. How does she do that? How does she get free? How does she get free from that fear? I recited the passage. Interestingly enough, I recited the passage that we read when we began this morning. I recited that to her. And then I recited a passage from John chapter 14 where Jesus talks about the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I explained to her, whether it's in John 8 or John 14, when Jesus said he is the truth, he's using the same word. And then he goes on to say that if you've been set free by the Son, then you are free indeed. And she understood that intellectually. But she was still having trouble getting it here. She said, how am I going to be free? How am I ever going to be free from my past? And I explained to her, only through Christ. Only through Christ. You see, church, that is the message that the world is longing to hear. How can we be free from the things that we're afraid of? How can we be free from the things that we dread? How can we be free from the things that have us just wrapped up in bondage all the time? How can we do that? That's what they want to know. And we have the answer. We have the answer, and we're afraid to share it. You see, the world's got all kinds of solutions. Some think, well, you know, preacher, if I just had more money, if I just had more money, what is the Powerball jackpot this week? Anybody know? I'm glad you don't. That's encouraging. That warms the pastor's heart, doesn't it? Amen, brother. Yeah. They didn't even know. They didn't even know how many millions were out there. All right. You look at that thing, you say, okay, is that the solution? People say it is. But yet there's research, and there is actually conflicting research on this deal. There is research that says the majority of lottery winners are worse off financially 2 years after winning than they were before they won the lottery. You know? And then there's others that say, well, that research isn't quite credible. That research isn't credible. But those same people that say that's not credible have to acknowledge that many of the big winners are now completely broke. So, I mean, it's just a mixed bag. What if I had more money? Would I be better off? Would I be free from the bonds that enslave me? Probably not. Pastor, you know, if I was just more successful at my job, well, welcome to my world, okay? That's how I feel a lot of times. If I could just do this better, you know, if I were successful at my job, well, what does that get you? What does that get you? That's to get you a gold watch after 50 years or something. I don't know. What does that get you? You know, if your job is the means in and of itself to the end, if it's all about your job, then you're enslaved to your cotton-picking job. It doesn't matter how good you are at it, you're still enslaved to it. If you don't see your job as the vehicle by which you can serve God in all the capacities that we talked about last week, if you don't see your job in that capacity, you're a slave to your job. So how can we avoid slavery to the circumstances of life? Is there an easy answer for that? I doubt it. Or maybe there is. You see, the world says, well, maybe you need to be positive. You just need to be more positive. That's what some clinical people say. Just be more positive. And I say, well, that's great. I'm positive. I'm depressed. That didn't do me any good. You know? That doesn't do me any good. Other people say, well, if you just obey the rules in life, well, who gets to set the rules? Whose rules? Others say, well, be good. Just be good. Be good to other people. Well, who defines what good is? It gets so complicated. You know. And others say, well, you just need to give half your money to God. And the finance committee says, amen. Amen. So what really delivers? What gives us freedom? As I've already alluded to with the story with the young lady, I said it's not about what gives you freedom. It's about who gives you freedom. It's not a what, it's a who, and his name is Jesus. But then I said, but there are practical things, day-to-day things that we need to look at. Practical living. And I said, let me suggest to you, it's all about recognizing the first rule of stewardship. And immediately people grab their wallet. You know, when I'm talking about the first rule of stewardship, it's not about your money. That first rule of stewardship is that God is in charge and everything belongs to Him. Amen? Everything belongs to Him. Everything that we are, everything that we have, recognize it's all God's. We are to be good stewards of it, but it's not ours. So don't let things enslave you. Don't let what other people think enslave you. Don't let anything in this world enslave you because God has delivered you. God has given you the vehicle by which you can be free from your bondage. And that is His Son, Jesus Christ. But we have to acknowledge God gave us all of this, but He still gave us choices. He gave us choices. And He allows us to make the wrong choices. It breaks his heart, but he allows us to make wrong choices. And that's usually how we wind up in a state of non-free, okay? That's how we end up in this state of bondage of various kinds, is because of our choices. So how do you break out of that? Breaking free. If you feel like you're in bondage, hear these words from Romans chapter 6 that Matt read a few minutes ago. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. You can choose. Remember back when we started today, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. In verse 32, it says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus will set you free. Verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The truth that frees, that truth is that God loves you and He's paid the price for your freedom. The truth is that He offers you the gift of eternal life. The truth is that you don't have to earn that freedom. As a matter of fact, you can't. You're not capable of earning it. It's a gift. The truth is you don't have to impress God nor earn His favor, because that's impossible also. So my question then comes down to, are you tired of carrying your own burdens? Are you tired of being in bondage? Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, "And Jesus said to them, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give is light.'" So whatever the chains are, God can break them. Whatever the burden is, God can handle it. Some are harder than others. I get that. I understand that. But make that first step. Surrender it. Surrender it to God. He promised that the power of the Holy Spirit can help us with those day-to-day decisions, can help us with those day-to-day burdens. We just need to rest in Him and allow Him to take that burden from us. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we pray for freedom, and yet we declare independence. Father, help us to understand that spiritual freedom comes through complete surrender. Surrender to who you are and all you've done for us. Surrender to your Son, Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate price for our freedom. God, we pray that this morning, as we look at our own lives and take a spiritual inventory, that you would allow us to rest in you, yes, but also, Father, to take steps to begin to live each day dependent upon who you are and what you provide for us. Live each day as believers who acknowledge that everything that we have and everything that we are belongs to you. Father, give us that kind of freedom to live life. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't have that kind of freedom that we've talked about, one of two things is going on. Either you're not a believer in Christ Jesus, you have no relationship with Him, and we need to settle that this morning. Or number two, you're trying to do it on your own strength. And we as believers, we're kind of, "I know you're busy, God, so I got this." No, God wants this. He don't want you to got this. He's got this, okay? So it's either that you don't know Christ and you need to surrender everything to Him, or that you do know Christ and you still need to continue to surrender to Him. Whatever your circumstance is this morning, as we stand and sing in just a moment, I'll be glad to talk with you. The altar here will be open if you want to come pray. If you want to settle it even as you sing this hymn of commitment, that's fine. If you're here and you say, "Well, I'd like to be a member of College Park," I advise it. Good group of people. And there are many ways we receive members. Be glad to talk with you about it. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. invite you, following the benediction and the choral response, greet one another. I see family, people here that grew up here and now have come back to visit for the weekend. So if you look around you and you don't recognize someone, introduce yourself. Get to know them. Make a new friend today and encourage them as we go out together. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for this chance to be in your house, to exercise our freedom, to assemble together and to worship you. But Father, thank you even more for the freedom that comes in Christ that makes this purpose, makes this worship have purpose, makes our life have purpose. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.